from Highlands Ranch, Colorado. Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, are there roads we shouldn't ride on, even though we're legally entitled to? A sensitive topic, we think, and perhaps we have our own part to play in the answer.
We've also got some big news from GCN and Zwift, the self-proclaimed fastest road bike in the world, and quite possibly the fastest bunch sprint on a flat road we've ever seen. It's literally bonkers.
Literally bonkers.
It's just bonkers. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that the World Cyclocross Championships did not disappoint. Fem van Empel took her hat-trick of wins, but she had to fight really hard for it. Lucinda Brandt pushed her right up to the final corner.
Yeah, in the men's meanwhile, it was hard fought right up until the first corner. The very first corner. Because after that, Mathieu van der Poel disappeared. In fact, after just 3 minutes of racing, he had a 30-second lead. It was, though, wasn't it? Great to see Wout van Aert emerge from a near back row start to take silver. Looking, Dan, ominously good 1 month out from the road season starting in Belgium?
A month out from Omloop in the opening weekend, but a couple of months still till Flanders. Well, here's hoping that he wins one. He deserved it, doesn't it? We also learned that sprinting in a tailwind is not for the faint of heart. Matteo Moschetti of Q36.5 won the final stage of the Alula Tour on Sunday, and he averaged 70.6 kilometres per hour for the last 2 minutes, and then maxed out at about 82, which is 51 miles per hour.
Wowzers, shoulder to shoulder.
Oh, I mean, it looked fast, even on TV.
It did,
which means it's even faster.
Yeah, impressive, you think, but it could have been even faster had they been riding the new fastest road bike in the world.
So the self-proclaimed fastest road bike in the world, according to the statement.
Yes, so this is the T-Red The Falcon 300 RR Stradale. Not a fast name,
no,
really. But the manufacturers claim that it's quicker than other top-end aero road bikes. And we should say, the manufacturers claim, I don't think anyone's actually ridden it yet, have they? It's definitely got a different look to others.
Yeah, it's got a different look.
Yeah.
It says it's faster by 12%,
Crikey.
No less. And I worked out that could actually take an hour off my time from Manchester to London, Si.
That's not to be sniffed at, is it? How is your preparation going, mate?
Well, I did 50 minutes on Zwift on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, nice.
But then, an hour and a half out on the road on Sunday.
Nice, how did it feel?
It was okay until the last 15 minutes of that 90-minute road ride when I blew my lights completely. So I only did a total of 43 kilometres. And I am now more than a bit worried about the prospect of doing 350 kilometres.
I'm not worried.
Why not?
Well, because if you blow up after 75 minutes on that day, we will have an amazing video. It's going to be brilliant.
Oh, can you imagine? Hunger knock with 310 kilometres to go.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about it.
Conor Dunn would get the hunger knock after 40 kilometres of a 350 kilometre ride.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would.
And he makes it through,
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, you'll be wanting to know what our coffee machine chat centred around this morning, I'm sure.
Well, the suspense is probably killing everyone.
I know.
So apologies for making you wait. Our chat revolved around whether or not there are certain roads that we shouldn't ride on, even though we legally can. You know, it's probably not actually that much of a suspense, given that we said that in the introduction.
I forgot we'd already mentioned it.
Yeah, anyway, the reason we're talking about this, it's actually something that I've been asking myself for the last week, is because I was driving down a road out of my home city of Bristol to take my dogs for a walk. It's a busy road, right, with a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit. And as I came around a corner, I joined the back of quite a long-looking traffic jam. I couldn't see the front anyway. And I just had this funny feeling that this traffic jam, moving as it was at about 10 kilometres an hour, was a result of somebody riding a bike up this hill. And sure enough, as the cars filed past one by one, I could see it was actually not just one cyclist, but a group in ones and twos riding up this hill. Now, for the record, I have zero issue with waiting to pass cyclists when I'm driving, nor actually do I have zero issue being a cyclist and holding up cars if need be.
Which begs the question then, what the issue is?
Well, I mean, potentially there isn't an issue here, right? So we do need your input on this. It made me question which roads we should or shouldn't ride on, irrespective of where we're allowed to ride. So in this case, right, this road, if traffic free, would be a lovely little climb. I've taken the liberty of filming some of it, so non-podcast viewers are watching this. However, as I mentioned, it is a really fast road and people do drive fast on there.
Do you ever ride on there or not?
No. No way. Not a chance. I mean, I have been up there before, but I wouldn't go up there ever really, because there's this long sweeping left-hander, right? And it scares the crap out of me, to put no too fine a point on it. Because let's say, even if I'm climbing quickly, for me, I don't know, it's like 12 miles an hour up there. Like,
not bad.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know how steep it is. But if someone's driving at 50 miles an hour, so it's that 80k an hour and 20k an hour, they're going to be coming at me pretty darn quickly, right? And there's limited visibility when you're going around that corner. They can't see.
No. Well, what if you had a rear view mirror so you could see them?
Good point. Case closed. That would sort it out. As an experienced rider, like I said, I would never ride it, okay? Mm. But I see people riding up there all the time.
So
all the time.
On the one hand, then, you don't think it's safe to ride, but you also think that we shouldn't ride it so we don't hold up cars.
Well, like I said, I don't think that it's a problem holding up cars per se, but in this particular instance, there are much nicer alternative roads which are much quieter as well. So arguably, it would be a win-win if cyclists didn't ride it.
Yeah, but we both feel, I think, that this is going to divide the audience, don't
yes.
we?
Yes. Yeah, we've thought long and hard about whether to even do a video on
it. I know, yeah. Should we choose not to ride on certain roads for safety or relations with other road users? Or should we exert our rights? Because if we don't use them, we will lose them.
What's your take on this?
I think there are definite examples of roads we shouldn't ride.
So you kind of agree with me?
I actually do agree. I just thought I'd leave it until now to say. many years ago, 2009, okay. I rode with a junior team, Glendine CC.
I thought you rode for Cervelo Test Team that year.
No, I was in a ride with another junior team.
I was going to say, you were...
I was in my 30.
Yeah,
I mean, not quite, actually, 28. 29. Anyway, it was all going well.
Until
I began to realise which way the team manager in the car behind us was telling them to get back to Bournemouth where they were based. So there's a spur road that you drive down to get to Bournemouth.
It's a spur road?
It's effectively a dual carriageway.
Okay.
There's no hard shoulder on it, and it's got a speed limit of 70 miles per hour like a motorway.
Okay, sounds delightful.
Yeah. When I realised where they were heading, I went back to the team car to speak to the team manager and check where we were going, because I really couldn't believe we could possibly be going down there. Mainly because there's also another much quieter road that basically runs parallel to it. But he insisted that the team had done it every year and they'd never had any problems.
Okay, and how was it?
Well, I don't know, because I took the quieter road myself and left them to it. Although I say that, I know they were pulled over by the police.
Nah,
I found
really?
Out afterwards, yeah.
Whoa.
And they said that, yes, you are allowed to ride on this road, but the police would not recommend doing so.
And did they reroute?
That's the point, really. You can't. It's there's no going back once you set off down this spur road or dual carriageway. There's not a junction for just under 6 miles once you start.
Whoa, 10K of basically being frightened to death.
Yeah, I know.
At risk of being rear-ended, whether you've got a rearview mirror or not. It sounds horrific, actually.
Well, it is. I would never, ever ride on that road, even though I am legally entitled to do so. Unless maybe there was a float day for a 10-mile TT.
Yeah. Do they have time trials on it?
No, I'm joking.
Okay.
At least I don't think they do, anyway.
Well, I mean, in this country, a lot of time trials, which is admittedly a relatively niche sport these days, do take place on roads exactly like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Because when you get overtaken by cars doing 70 miles an hour, it gives you quite a nice tailwind.
It's not bad, is it?
And you think we're joking, but we're not. Mm. Like, that is legit. Now, I feel like most people, if they knew there were alternatives, like you were saying...
Yeah.
Next to your spur road, whatever that is, they would actively choose to use different roads. And this is often a gripe I have about like route selection on certain apps. Strava do it a lot, actually. They'll suggest routes. You know, there's that little feature where it's like, I want to do a 30K ride. Those routes will often be based on popularity, as far as I'm aware. And they will select routes on roads that I would never, ever, ever ride on, because they would be unpleasant and, to my mind, make me feel unsafe, even if it's not unsafe.
I mean, finding nice roads and nice routes is a bit of an art.
I think it is, yeah.
I do wonder whether this is an education thing rather than a legislation thing. we should be able to ride on these roads, but we need to make sure that every cyclist knows that alternatives exist. That means we can ride on much nicer roads, like away from danger and friction with other road users.
Yeah, to be fair, actually, this is something that we've been banging on about for years, isn't it? There are a lot of videos here on GCN on exactly that subject, really. But I think it's probably a job for all of us cyclists, isn't it? You know, if we've got friends that are not aware of nice route choices or roads you shouldn't ride, maybe it's everyone's job to sort of spread the message that you don't just ride where you drive.
No, rule number one, I think that is, isn't it?
Ooh, we can't have rules.
Can we not?
No, they went out of fashion, didn't they, in cycling about 5 years ago.
Good point. Yeah. A suggestion number one, I should say. Don't just ride where you drive.
Yeah. Suggestion number two. Are there any other suggestions?
Common sense, perhaps.
All right, mate, steady on.
No, I mean, that's suggestion number two.
Oh, okay, yes.
That's why I get that. Just use your common sense. So if a road doesn't feel nice to ride on, don't ride it unless you absolutely have to. Speed difference is super important, I would say, more so than volume of traffic, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's, I think, probably my number one criteria of, like, feeling safe is if traffic is kind of going at a similar speed. That's for me. Do you know what, right, as well, gravel has many fans, but also a fair few people that think it's rubbish. But I would say in this instance, being able to ride both road and gravel on the same ride does give you more options, doesn't it? And increase the likelihood for finding traffic-free routes at that.
Indeed, I'd agree with that as well, Si.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'd love to know what you lot think about all this. Are there roads that we shouldn't as cyclists ride on? And if so, what is your criteria for skipping them out? And how should we advise other cyclists to avoid them too?
Yeah, and also I guess we should ask the question about, is there an issue with voluntarily not riding on certain roads? Are we potentially going to be missing out in the future if we don't use it? Will we lose it?
In the case of my spur road, we're not missing out on much.
Yeah, no, that's true. In the case of my road though, maybe we are.
Yeah.
I don't know. Please, yeah, do get involved.
Road by road, case by case basis. There's your solution. Anyway.
Oh, well, no one was going to comment, Dan. You're just giving away the answer. Right, well, never mind, because I think hopefully people will get involved in this. But we've also got some very exciting news for you all now. So the Zwift Academy Finals was some of our most watched and most loved content on the channel in 2021 and 2022. After a one-year hiatus, it is now back. Here's a taster.
Zwift Academy is back.
Don't break. Push again. Push.
Come on.
You're giving 100%.
Someone that's not scared to chase down a breakaway.
See what they're capable of.
And now here. Come on. Up.
Zwift Academy is a unique opportunity.
There are four finalists
and only one pro contract to win.
In 3, 2, 1.
All the way to the line.
You're watching the Zwift Academy Finals.
It was loud, no?
I mean, I know we were both involved in it, Si.
Yes.
But it is going to be a brilliant series, isn't it? Four episodes in all, starting on Saturday the 15th of February. So you've actually not got long to wait at this point.
You do not. You should also keep your eyes on Zwift's social media this week, because they'll be announcing the finalists, and then we will have more information for you on next week's show as well, just ahead of the premiere.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we're going to start with a big well done to the Ilkeston Cycling Club Youth Academy, who have just set a world record for the longest rollers train.
If you're listening to this as a podcast, you might need a roller train explained. Basically, the back wheel of one bike drives the roller of the front wheel of the bike behind.
I don't think that would summarise it for a podcast listener at all, really.
It does,
yeah, it's very cool. These are like indoor trainers, old school rollers. Yeah. Anyway, it's not an official record, and by their own admission, they have no idea if it's actually the longest rollers train ever, but impressive nonetheless, and I think I think that's a fair claim, isn't it? So yeah. Well done, Ilkeston.
Well done indeed. Next up, it was inevitable that someone was going to try it, but now smart handlebars are potentially coming to a bike near you.
Yes, potentially. And when we say smart, by the way, we don't mean comfortable, light, compliant or aero. We mean built-in computer with touch screen and a list of features that includes anything and everything, right up to a feature that will change the cycling world forever.
A hidden stretch goal that will only be revealed when they reach the 5,000 order mark.
Okay, I have many, many questions about
this. I thought you might.
Oh, well, I don't know, maybe I'm just being a bit cynical. The German company Flight are promising a lot. From what we can see, there doesn't seem to be a working prototype yet. And interestingly, one of the founders is a cycling influencer / OnlyFans performer whose other career seems to be part of the fundraising.
Indeed. The product is currently on pre-order for £1,358.
Is that about 1,500 euros, dollars?
Round about that, yes. But you can upgrade to one that includes a 60-minute one-on-one Zoom call with the said OnlyFans influencer. So I'll let you know what that's like once I've done it.
Imagine if you could pay extra for a new Canyon Air Road and get a 60-minute one-on-one phone call with Matthew Vanderpool.
Crikey. You'd probably remortgage your house for that,
I would. Unfortunately, the restraining order is still in place.
It did make the Zwift Academy complicated, didn't it?
It did.
Although
didn't
we
it?
Did devise a solution, which you'll find out in due course. Anyway, in better and more wholesome news, yes. Shimano have just announced a much anticipated drop bar version of their entry level Q's group set.
Yeah, so last year they completely revamped their lower end group sets for flat handlebars with the launch of Q's, which allows cross compatibility of 9, 10, and 11-speed group sets, and this is really important, this bit, adding in the bomb-proof Link Glide tech, which means that your drivetrain lasts for just shy of an eternity. Not their words, that's just what we've heard from our mountain bike chums who've been enjoying it for years, or a few years.
It feels more like business-to-business type of product launch, isn't it? In that, aside from the Link Glide bit, a lot of the benefits are simplification for bike shops and bike brands.
Yes, I would agree with that. But if it makes it easier for consumers too, particularly because it's lower end, then that's a good thing in our book.
Yeah.
Basically. Next up, Zwift have partnered up with Sir Chris Hoy for a series of weekly and monthly rides in the lead up to an in-person event in September to raise money for his Tour de Four initiative.
Most of you will know that Chris, who is a legend of track cycling and all-round good guy, received the devastating news last year that he's got stage 4 cancer.
Yeah, so this is also known as metastatic cancer, and it's where the original cancer has then spread to other parts of the body and is usually not curable.
However, in Chris's words, I want to demonstrate, along with many others, that it is possible to live well and lead a happy life alongside this devastating diagnosis.
Yeah, hence the Tour de Four. So raising funds and awareness of stage 4 cancer, but also crucially, actually celebrating those people living life with that diagnosis.
You can join Sir Chris on the 8th of February at 10 a.m. GMT. Zwift also says actually that they're going to match any charitable donations up to £50,000, which is great.
That is super cool, isn't it? Right, now our video from Sunday about bike theft got a lot of attention. So thank you all so much, firstly for watching it, and then also for the many, many comments as well. What I wasn't expecting, Dan, after this video, was a call from our local police.
When you were told that the policeman was waiting for you downstairs. Yeah. I've never seen Si look so nervous before, I've got to say. I thought I might have to present the show all by myself.
I did too, mate.
Or at least with you with handcuffs on.
Anyway, to cut long story short, one of our local police officers stopped by to say they had watched the video.
Did they like it?
I think so, yes, I think so. Anyway, more importantly, he came in to tell us about some of the things that our local police, who are the Avon and Somerset Police Force, are doing to combat bike theft, actually. And it's really cool. One of the initiatives, which sounds great, is free registration for the National Bike Register Scheme, which both helps to deter theft, they're explaining, in the first place, and it helps you to get your bike back in the event that it does get stolen. And you can take advantage of this for free if you head to the Avon and Somerset Police website. I think you have to live in the area.
Sorry, I was going to say, I think you said in the video, but it was something reiterated, wasn't it, by the officer who came to tell Si off.
He didn't tell me off.
Whatever. I'm just, in my mind, he told you off. That's what I want to remember. But actually, he said that loads and loads of bikes do get recovered, and yet not many can actually be identified.
Yes. You know, I think what struck me about this bike registration is not... Obviously, in the case of Damien Groves, who was also in that video, whose bikes were taken outside of the country to be sold somewhere else. But even if it's moved from one area of the country to another, like, does it... I mean, I literally don't know the answer to this, but if we registered it stolen with Avon and Somerset, but it pops up in, I don't know, Yorkshire and Humberside, do they know that it's been stolen? I assume so. But anyway, a nationwide bike registration seems like a good thing. And I bet there's... stacks in other countries too.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything to potentially help you get your bike back is a good thing in our books. We're going to do a follow-up video as well, aren't we?
For sure.
Not least, actually, to see if carbon frames do act as blockers to air tags, as a lot of people seem to think, because apparently it might be a Faraday cage.
I saw a few of those comments, In fact, we're going to get onto more of your comments about that in just a moment. Now, though, we are unfortunately finishing Cycling Short with some very sad news. Over the weekend, British junior rider Aidan Warden was killed whilst out training in Lancashire.
Yeah, Warden, just 18 years old, was struck by a vehicle and lost his life despite the best efforts of those around him. He was a very promising junior rider and won the 25-mile time trial championships last year.
Some beautiful tributes have since been paid by those that knew him. Our sincere condolences go to all of them and, of course, to his family. Rest in peace, Aidan. Next up, it is time for Hack /Bodge of the Week. The first one this time around comes in from Neil John, who put, I'm a theatre technician in Abergavenny and we got broken into last year. Storage is an issue as the theatre is quite small. I was worried about where to store my bike, so I thought I'd store my bike on a flybar over the stage.
I quite like this, Tim. Not least.
Describe it for our podcast listeners, didn't we?
Good point.
Basically, a bike being winched up in a theatre.
Yeah, but from sort of like from a hidden thing, you could imagine, I don't know what you would hang on a flybar normally, but...
Lady Gaga or something, coming down.
Possibly, yes. Well, that was not where my mind was going. I was thinking more like a kind of like backdrop to a set, you know? But Lady Gaga, I mean, maybe she's gone to Abergavenny Theatre.
We just think in different ways, so...
Yeah, clearly we do. No, yeah, I mean, you've ordered one of those flight handlebars, haven't you? So that says everything. No, I like it. I mean, there's nothing like a bit of theatre to a bike ride. And if my bike was revealed to me like that, I'd be well excited to go ride it.
Yeah, I've got to take your point. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Hack?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Security message in there as well, which is very topical. Right, next up, we've got this one from Gabby Wilds. Whilst commuting to work, I very easily saw this cyclist on the streets of Boston, Massachusetts. Oh my goodness me.
Armed cyclist is what's written on the back of the jersey that this gentleman, I think it is using. There's some big flags off to the side saying, take your lane in bright orange, and then about 1,000,003 lights on the back of the bike.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I, aside from the fact that there's a giant picture of a pistol on the back of his jumper, it's the fact that he looks like he's wearing one of those morph suits that Ollie's got tucked away in his closet.
Maybe he's just off to test some muddy ground.
Maybe.
Up ahead.
I did wash that morph suit, by the way, from the Mud Guards video, and it looks awful. It's like come up mostly white, but with a horrible brown patch over the bum.
Lovely.
So I'm going to hand it back to Ollie. See what happens. What can you say to that?
I'm going to go bodge. It's an Evdra armed cyclist jersey.
Yeah, no, I... also, I feel like if you're riding around that scared, you know, maybe go on Zwift. I just can't see why that would be enjoyable.
Just riding some of the quieter roads that are parallel.
Yeah.
Blake Crouch couldn't find a suitable cylinder trolley cart at work, so decided to reuse an old set of Kona forks, some scooter wheels and a few 3D printed parts to create a custom cylinder trolley cart.
I mean, that looks very neat, whatever the cylinder is. I sort of feel a little bit like the link to cycling is tenuous, but I do appreciate there's a pair of forks in there.
Yeah. Oh, look, I mean, we've had more tenuous links to cycling. You hack forward slash bodge of the week, haven't we?
Well, we have.
Great use of forks.
I'm
already saying hack just because of your reaction.
All right. Well, I mean, there's 3D printed stuff there too, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Well done, Blake. That's
not
a hack
a
from the both of us.
Zip tie inside.
No, amen. Although on this one, whilst there aren't any zip ties, looks like there's an elastic band. This is from Tom Knight, who said, whilst en route to work, going cross country on my cyclocross bike. Fair play, Tom. I do like an off-road commute to work. Serious points for that. My out front Garmin and light mount failed mid-descent. Ooh. After quickly stopping and picking up the pieces, I managed to noodle to work whilst holding the light in one hand, but needed a quick fix to get me home safe. 6 rubber bands raided from the company stationery cupboard, fed round the bars and over, job done. Got me home without a hitch, where I replaced my broken mount with a spare one.
Oh, well, that's the detail we need to say.
There you go. Yes, 100% a hack. That's mega, isn't it? Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can see in the photo the broken mount and then the light, like you say, elastic banded to your handlebars. Oh, I love this one. This is one of my favourites ever. Tom Knight has been riding his cyclocross bike off-road to work. He's had a roadside problem, fixed it, hack, and then he's fixed it when he got home again with a permanent solution.
Crikey, Tom's at home watching this thinking, all right, Si, calm down.
Yeah, well, he's in danger of having a Matthew Vanderpool experience, poor old Tom.
Yeah, if you'd like to know how to take a restraining order out against Si, please get in touch with us. I know only too well. No, hack from both of us, brilliant stuff. And don't forget, you can get involved, ready for next week's show. All you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader and submit some photos of your own hacks and bodges or those that you've seen out and about.
It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do, of course, is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just 1 second. We will give you the results, or we'll announce the winner next week, which is what we're about to do now.
Yeah. For last week.
For last week, yes.
This was the photo taken from the Criterium ahead of the men's Tour Down Under in Adelaide. This is Javier Romo of Movistar. And if you're listening, he's riding his bike across the finish line whilst also carrying a teammate who's visibly crashed. The winner
is... there is no teammate there, is there?
But he is carrying a teammate. Well, I mean, I presume he's crashed since the tyres rolled off, the chains off, etc, etc. I mean...
You thought about his teammates probably jogging to the line, isn't he, in his cycling shoes? Anyway, never mind.
Anyway,
we should have tackled that last week.
The winner is Eddie Ward's 123, who put, contrary to most bike adverts, this setup is twice as heavy, half as aero, and twice as stiff.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
What a goodie. Get in touch with your address, and we will send a GCN Camelback water bottle out to you. Results? No, we've just done that. What's the photo for next week?
The photo for this week...
This week, thank you.
...is this one of Wout van Aert at the World Cyclocross Championships. The one I'm looking at is, one inside. I mean, this is going smooth as hell, isn't it?
It's great, isn't it? Yeah.
I changed it, so I didn't notice.
I was just looking at a picture of Matthew van der Poel thinking, God, that guy's cool.
I can't mistake him. That's Wout van Aert with a ripped... pair of shorts / bottom of his skin suit at the World Cyclocross Championships in Northern France on Sunday. I will get you going. Wout van Aert finished with a cheeky number 2.
Yay! I like that. Excellent.
Thanks,
you know what struck me, right, watching the Worlds on Sunday is how, like, van Aert's core is, like, the strongest looking core of any cyclist ever, isn't it?
He did do, I noticed, on Visma Lisa Bike's Instagram account, a core workout video
that
we could follow along to, yes.
I mean, I wouldn't stand a chance. Like, honestly, the guy's like, yeah. He'd give you a run for his money.
You're doing pistol squats now, so.
I am doing pistol squats.
You never know.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned, folks. There's going to be a video coming up in approximately 6 weeks, I think. Oh, that was a funny caption.
Thanks, mate.
Right, you know what to do. Put your captions in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week.
We promise you some more comments from underneath Sunday's video, but first, we're going to start with some comments underneath last week's show.
Yes.
Emma Bird 9745 put, all that bike racing, on Discovery Plus. Good value at $6.99 a month, perhaps, but now they're bumping up to $30.99 a month. That's a whole different proposition. There was absolutely nothing else in Discovery to interest me, so it looks like no more bike racing going forward. Clever marketing, Discovery. How to turn $6.99 into zero in one easy lesson.
Yeah.
There's quite a few comments, didn't we, along these lines when the show went out, but we had recorded it the previous day before we knew the news.
Yeah, so for context, anyone that doesn't live in the UK, maybe not aware of this, but in the UK, you're going to have to pay £30.99 a month to be able to watch cycling, basically now. So you did something on the Racing News show, didn't you?
Yeah, yesterday, if you'd like to know more about the potential reasons why they are doing this at the moment, watch the Racing News show, which came out yesterday on the GCN Racing channel. There's lots to discuss on this, and as I mentioned on that Racing News show, I am hoping to do a more in-depth, broader video about cycling broadcasting and possibly the whole professional cycling model at some point in the not-too-distant future. But yeah, I can understand why people are aggrieved, because that is quite the price hike, isn't it?
Yeah. Hmm. Right, well, anyway, let's move on. Like I say, if you want more information on that, Dan covered it on the Racing News show yesterday. Alex Fuller Love said, I did Manchester London last year, and after 220 kilometres, you're going to love this, Dan, I questioned every decision I had made in life that had brought me to that point. However, the fish and chips at the stop in Northamptonshire were like arriving at an oasis in the Sahara. Heaven. Good luck.
Just that, yeah, flippant good luck at the end.
Yeah, good luck, mate. Yeah.
Thanks, Alex, for the love.
I think on your, like, based on your ride from Sunday, you're going to need a fish and chip stop after about 35 kilometres.
I'll be looking forward to an oasis on the horizon.
Yeah, so probably in the suburbs of Manchester, maybe you've reached Stockport by that point. So, good luck.
Whilst we're at it, I actually picked this comment out myself from Alan Morrison, who put, I'm in a similar boat to Dan. I'd like to see his approach to this 350k ride. Of course, I'm younger, stronger and more attractive than him, but there are similarities nonetheless.
Oh, I like that, Alan. Keep the comments coming. Excellent, excellent. Right then, underneath Connor's video, where he told us how learning to love riding in the mornings was the best thing he ever did for cycling, someone with no name said, early morning person here. My weekends, I'm usually at 5 a.m. on the bike. The goal is to reach a specific hill at sunrise. I love to see the sun coming up. I only see 5 cars in 2 hours. And also, it feels quite good to get some light suffering. What is it? Oh, get some light.
After suffering for an hour in the dark.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah. Yes.
Meanwhile, Glendo Mello put, what I love about morning rides is that sense of accomplishment and getting to enjoy something right at the start of the day. Then if work throws me a curveball or I'm bogged down with life events, I already know I did something for myself. Preventative self-care.
You see, I really like that. And then I sort of think about the bike rides that I do when it's dark. And I sort of think, like, that first bit until it gets light, I sort of don't massively enjoy quite as much as I would do if it was light. I mean, I get it done anyway, right? Because otherwise I wouldn't do it, but, you know.
I must admit, I'm over doing runs in the dark. We did a run in the dark on Friday morning,
didn't we? We did. We set out, given that Dan is really quite good at running now, and I'm still really, really not. And I was like, oh, how far are we going to go, Dan? He was like, well, as far as we want, really, mate. And off he went. And I had no idea until we got back that you'd made me run 7.5 kilometres.
It was, yeah. Nice distance.
I couldn't walk for 2 days afterwards. So.
I had a crash whilst running last week. I went out in the dark in the New Forest, and I don't even know why I did this, right, because it had been so wet for so long that I'd already got soaking wet just by running in through puddles. It said, on the way back, there was a large puddle, and despite already being soaked and having soaking wet shoes, I decided I was going to try and jump this muddy puddle. You know, got most of the way over it, and where I landed was very slippery. So I just landed in a gorse bush, scratched all my legs up, thinking, what am I doing in the middle of the night? Obviously, no one else was out, so nobody saw it, but now I'm admitting to it on the show.
Anyway, I would love to have seen that. And that is the problem with gravel running, isn't it? Which is quite a new trendy thing, gravel running.
But yeah, I'm ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you definitely need some specific gravel shoes, I think. Yeah. And probably some gravel clothing in case you end up in a gorse bush.
Yeah, in gravel rash.
Yeah.
We weren't going to get onto the ones that we had, a couple more that we had on the bike stolen. This is what happened next video. A Mischief 2168, but a couple of years ago I saw in Audi bike locks and cordless angle grinders being sold literally alongside each other. The bike lock was marketed as thief-proof and the angle grinder marketed as cuts through anything. The angle grinder was half the price of the bike lock, incidentally.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. Do you think there was an element of, like, you know, like humour to that?
Possibly.
Do you think it was?
There certainly
just, like...
was. I don't know if it was deliberate or not.
Oh, that's brilliant. Anyway, and then I picked out this one, actually, which I really liked, from Rudolf Pyatt. Ex-New York City prosecutor here. If my experience taught me anything, it's that most crimes occur because of despair, greed, stupidity, or combinations thereof. Since society lacks the collective will to tackle the sources of despair, desperate people will continue to do desperate things. Greed is generally incurable, hence corporate wrongdoing, the fines imposed for which said corporations account for in their budgets, and stupidity is eternal.
Mm, I know that much.
He also put underneath, by the way, that evil exists, which I think, yeah, unfortunately we know that too, right? Yeah. But yeah, I really appreciate that comment, so thank you, Rudolph, for that one.
So many comments on under that video, 1,000 at my last count, so difficult to get through all of them, but we tried our best. Anyway, what's coming up on the channel this week? Got a full interview with Brian Hunt coming up for you on Thursday.
Yeah, so... going back to that video about bike theft, so Brian, you'll remember, is one of the founders of Bike Index. We actually didn't have room for it in that video, but he told us the most unbelievable story about he and some of his friends and colleagues effectively cracked an international bike trafficking ring, exporting stolen bikes from California down to Mexico to the tune of millions and millions of dollars worth. And it's such an unbelievable story. We're going to have... its own video, basically.
Brilliant.
It's wild. So, yeah, thanks again to Brian for his time on that one.
On Saturday, if I get to film this in time, it's going to be a video about whether or not it's okay to fall out of love with cycling. I've not kept it secret that I have fallen out of love with cycling over the last 12 years or so.
Riding bicycles, not watching bicycles.
No, exactly, yes. It's not that I even dislike riding a bike, it's that I just no longer love it enough to want to go out, particularly at this time of year. I went out on Sunday, as mentioned, but it was a bright day, 8 degrees, it was absolutely fine, and I did really enjoy it. But I also, at the moment, prefer running and weightlifting because they're new, I can get better at them. I can be the best I've ever been.
Your pecs get bigger.
Exactly.
Unlike in cycling, where your pecs tend to get smaller.
I mean, I can't wait for my summer holiday.
It's like splay outwards.
Anyway, I'm going to be exploring that. I've actually interviewed Si for that particular video. I'm going to be speaking to somebody else that doesn't like riding since their pro career too much as well. So hopefully we'll have that out for you on Saturday. And on Sunday, FTP is useless.
Yeah, so a few of you picked up on this in a video that we made about strength training on the bike, basically, and how I kept putting FTP in inverted commas. And that's because, effectively, a lot of top-end coaches are moving away from this concept of FTP, as they have done for years, in fact. So Connor is investigating, both talking to pro coaches and also a coach who was a pro, but now coaches mainly, like, normal cyclists, all of us. So yeah, can't wait to see that one, actually. I think it's going to be super, super interesting.
It'll be very interesting indeed. All right, that is all for this week. Keep your eye, actually, on GCN Tech, because I'm off to the Women's UAE Tour soon after we recorded this, actually.
I think you might have said that already this episode.
Have I?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. Thanks for watching.
I get the feeling that we know that you're going to the UAE Tour.
Okay, I mean, that's how bad my memory is. I can't remember something half an hour ago. Thanks for watching. See you next week.
Don't forget, you're going to the UAE Tour after this.
I'm going to the Women's UAE Tour.
As in, like, your flight's quite soon. You better
get out of there. See you later.